All right. All right, everybody. So welcome to our practicum for tonight on, with our live without anxiety class, which, I am training myself not to say our anxiety class, because that's like, it's a class to teach you about how to have anxiety, which we don't need anybody to teach us that. So as I've been trying to have all of us know, it's, that we call the class at our end RIPA, R-I-P-A, Rest in Peace Anxiety. So that's going forward, that's what we're going to try and call it, RIPA, our RIPA class. So what I'd love to do tonight, if it would work with everybody, is we'll do a little meditation, just kind of a practice in your skills at becoming present. And really becoming clear on what's your go-to in the moment when you're experiencing whatever it is, whether it's, you want to call it fear, nervousness, apprehension, dread, confusion, shame, terror, whatever. We're trying to not use bundle, right? We're trying to break these things, tease them out. But what is your go-to? What do you know works for you in that moment where it's, you don't want to think, you want to intuitively, instinctively, boom, go to that place in your body that's going to ground you and go to the part of the breath that is easiest for your mind to find. So that's where we're going to start tonight. We're going to just do a short little exercise. The point is for you to find what's your go-to place. What's your go-to one, so that we become familiar with it and it's a tool we have at our disposal. So let's become present. Let's start by becoming present, which means finding your seat. Oh, and I don't have my mic on. Hold on.
Karen is frozen. And we have to say that because I know she doesn't know she's frozen.
Yeah, she is. She's back. Now you're muted. You're muted.
I think I might have dislodged the cable for the internet. Thank you for being so patient. And I didn't even stress. I was like, okay. They know I'm coming back. So, okay. So let's all find our seat, whatever that means to you, right? Tonight, whatever that means to you, you find your seat. And then take a few breaths to soften your body, paying particular attention to any places of tightness that need softening. And then let's take a moment to explore where in our body is it easiest for our attention to stay present. And so let's begin with the seat, feeling the weight of your body in your sit bones, in your buttocks, in your thighs, feeling your weight, the pressure. And then let's shift to the sensation in your feet. And then let's shift our attention to our hands. And it doesn't matter, palms up, palms down, doesn't matter. And now let's do it again. And we're going to stay with each one of these for maybe 15, 20 seconds. And just notice which one has enough interest, enough going on that your mind has something to do to stay there. And which ones does your mind just kind of float away? Just kind of float away. And so let's begin with our seat, your bottom, your sit bones, weight and pressure. And now let's shift our attention to our feet and just notice how the mind responds. And now bring your attention to your hands. To your palms or your fingers. And then just notice now, which one of those was it easiest for your mind to stay with the sensation tonight. And now let's do the same thing. Let's explore what works for us as far as the breath goes. And so the three places where there's actually four, but we'll see if we do three or four. But let's start with the coolness in the nostrils, just bringing your attention to the coolness as you inhale, right there inside the nostrils. And as you exhale, there's a change in temperature. And then let's move down into the chest and notice as you inhale, if your attention rests with the rise and the expansion of the chest as you inhale, and the fall, the release of the chest as you exhale, there's kind of a rhythm, a rise and fall. How does your mind do with your attention in the chest with the breath? And now drop your attention into the belly. So as you inhale, if you put your hand on your abdomen, you could feel your belly expanding with the inhale. And as you exhale, you can feel the belly gently coming back towards the spine. So real belly, deep belly breath. And now let's do it again. And this time we'll do 20 seconds in each place and just see if there's no right or wrong. It's just how does your mind respond? So let's come back to the nostrils, to the temperature of the breath in the nostrils and begin. And now let's move our attention into the chest And let's see how your mind responds to being with the sensation of the breath in the chest. And now let's gently shift our attention, all of us, deep into the belly. If you want to place your hand on your belly to help, that's wonderful. And let's see how our mind responds to being with the breath in the belly. And now release and just notice. Make a mental note of which was most conducive to holding the mind's attention. Breath in the nostrils, breath in the chest, breath in the belly. And remind yourself which of the sensations in the body were most conducive to holding the mind's attention. The sensations in your seat, in your feet, or in your hands. All right. Now, keeping your eyes closed, let's bring our attention into the heart center. And let's do this other practice we've been learning. Learning the power of your thought. So think of someone who makes your heart smile and keep thinking of them till that feeling really fills the heart. And think of them, continue thinking so that that feeling not only fills your heart, but it lifts up into your face. And I on the screen can see that your face is enjoying the thought of this person, is feeling the heart smile. And now release the person, the thought of the person, and just be with the sensation. Can you simply enjoy the sensation of the heart smiling? Notice how you found it. And each time we do this, we find it quicker and easier. And pretty soon you won't even need the thought of someone. You will be able to find this place just by turning inward. And so to complete the opening of our meditation tonight, holding your attention in this beautiful, open, smiley heart, whatever that sensation is for you, let's send a blessing out to all beings and wish them what we are seeking. Wish for them happiness and its causes. Wish for them to be free of pain and its causes. Wish for them to be pain-free and to live happily. And wish for them to no longer cling and be attached or to resist and feel aversion. And by releasing attachment and resistance, finding the equanimity that allows us to live a life free from anxiety. So that's the aspiration. You feel it in your heart. I'm going to sing it as we're learning this new little prayer, opening invocation, whatever you'd like to call it. And just join me with your hearts opened. Because remember, what we give to another, we give even more to ourselves. May all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings always be free of pain and its causes. May all beings always be pain-free and live happily. May no beings ever cling to those near nor spurn those far. And then coming back to that feeling in your heart, that sincere wish that others not have to suffer from anxiety, fear, confusion. Letting that become a sincere wish for yourself to be free of anxiety. Let's take a deep breath in of a gift of kindness and acknowledgement. And as we exhale, soften and allow ourselves to receive the gift of that blessing. And then whenever you're ready, just gently open your eyes, gaze at the screen. And so just as a point of information, I'm going to ask you, and just raise, just kind of put a thumbs up, but keep it there until I ask the next thing. So how many of you found that your mind responded best to the sensation in your seat? Okay, a couple of you. How many of you, your mind responded best to the sensation in your feet? How many of you, your mind responded best to the sensation in your hands? Okay, nice. Okay, now you know that. So now you know. If anything starts to, a sensation becomes overwhelming, your go-to, go to your hands first. Go to your seat. Go to your feet. Okay? So now with the breath, how many of you found your mind had a much easier time staying with the breath in your nostrils? Okay, good to know. So. How many of you found it easiest to stay with the breath in the chest? Okay. And how many of you deep in the belly? All right. Okay. So. But you know. So you know, in this first, you know, this patterning we're talking about, recognize, regulate, right? Allow the feeling to be there. Your first step in regulating is to come into the present moment. Come into that place in your body. Come into that place with your breath. And sometimes you'll be able to regulate by just taking a nice deep breath in. And as you exhale, you can feel yourself. You might be still having an event, a sensation, but you're stable. Your thoughts aren't carrying you. You're able to stay present, right? Sometimes you're going to the, whatever arises, and coming into your body, coming into the breath isn't enough. And so we then know we need to regulate by toggling, which means first step, we spell a word. We count as we're breathing. We do something very, very left brain. And after a few rounds of that, we move over to the right brain and we say, oh, now what color would that feeling be? What color is my breath? We ask a creative question that engages this other side of the brain to have to use its imagination. We do that for a few moments, then we come back. And we count and we spell and then we come back. What is the color? What is the shape? What is the texture? Okay. What is the temperature? Anything that your mind has to imagine something. And we just keep going back and forth until we feel like, okay, it's like you can feel the rush passes and you can come back. And then we move up here to prefrontal cortex and we say, I wonder. And this is just a nice, easy one. You can wonder anything, but I wonder who was right here on this spot 200 years ago. I wonder what they were doing. under what, I wonder how they would respond if I showed up from the 2021, and you just, you start to wonder and you allow yourself to move up here and see if you, if that helps you then come back to where you're feeling a little more stable, a little more present, a little more, well, stable is the word we're looking for. Okay. So is that's all kind of just repetition, but was everybody with me with that? We're there. Okay. So before I go on to what we're going to talk about tonight, I want to talk about this, why the importance of knowing what to, where in your body to go in an intense moment. And Ramon had reminded me, I'd brought this up on Saturday. So as you all know, I was taking that very intense, intense course last year. And there's a man named Jeremy Hunter who works a lot with executives. He's out of the Drucker School of Management and he's phenomenal. And he told this story of a client who had been an executive. He works with executives who had been working with him. Told him what had happened. They were in like the boardroom, you're right, you know, with a table where there's 20 people sitting around it, right? And there's a whole plan for what was to be done, how things were to go, and they were presenting it to the client. And they, whoever had made the presentation and the client came back just pissed. I don't want this. I don't like this. This is not what we talk about. Just, and the whole room went into paralyzed, oh shit mode. And what this woman did was she put her attention in her hands, in her pen, because she knew her hands are what would anchor her in the moment. And she allowed herself to take a breath for her. It was deep in the belly. Soften with the exhale, and she just became completely and totally present in the body, in the breath, in the moment. And she, in that moment, had the clarity to see the responses around the room, the upset of this person, and they were about, this was like several millions of dollars on the table client that they were about to lose. And everybody in the room was just paralyzed with fear. And by just bringing herself into the moment, feeling the touch of her pen, coming back into her breath, being aware of the sensation in her of, holy shit, this client is about to leave. It's all going to land on me. Oh, you know, all that, right? She was able to, with her breath, come back. She could hold space for that feeling. It was not in her brain. It was an event happening right here, at which point she was able to speak in a way that acknowledged what was going on in the room. And by that simple act, she brought everybody back and they were able to salvage the account. And it was all because she felt the pen in her hand. She knew what to do to bring herself into the present moment. She knew how to regulate with her breath to not get sucked into the sensation, to name what was going on in the room. And from that clarity, she busted the spell of the panic and the fear that just shot through the room. Like, holy fuck, we're going to lose this account. That's, you know. So Ramon, that's the story. And he, of course, tells it way better. But it was, to me, when I heard it, it was probably a year ago. And I was just really struck by the power of such a simple practice. Become present in the moment. Know yourself. Know where to go. Like Jenny, if you're with a client, right? For you, it might be, I just going into your feet. You are feeling your feet on the floor, or you are feeling the animal in your hands, right? It's like right there in the moment. And for each one of you, this is why we do this work now. We find it now. So in the moment, we know what to do. So that was the story, Rommel. Yeah. Was that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little more of the world you live in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to that end, one of the things she had learned in her training, I mean, she had been working with this guy for a long time, but one of the things we need to learn, and we don't learn it by doing it once, we learn it by repeating it, is this idea of, let me put my little handout up for you. Oh, that's not the one, Karen. Okay. I was so slick. And now I have to not do this. Hang on. I thought I was so on top of it. Too many classes. Here we go. So remember, we're talking about, there's the thing called RAIN, right? R-A-I-N. And RAIN usually means recognize, A for allow, I for investigate, N for nurture. For our purposes, we're adapting that. And R is becoming recognize and regulate. The first thing we want to do is regulate. Whether it's toggling, whether it's just using the breath, depending on the situation, we want to get to where we're just feeling stable enough that whatever is going on can be going on, and we're not just gripping and holding. We're not just maintaining and getting through. We are stable enough to allow. Allow to lean in, to be totally non-resistant, to part of our stability comes from knowing this is going to pass. It's not going to last forever. And we allow. This is a skill, and we can practice it again and again and again. And there's always something new to learn. There's always something. But the more you practice it, the easier it gets, and allowing becomes a way of life. Dare I say that? It literally becomes a way of living your life. You live from a place of non-resistance. And once we've allowed, which we're going to work with tonight, we'll do a little exercise with it. Then we investigate, and we investigate, how am I doing here? What is this sensation I'm experiencing? Do I need to attend it, or is it time to unpack it? And three really leads to, for us now, this is where we diverge from RAIN. We have a choice point. And the more you can internalize this, it will literally just flow. It won't be like a ba-dump, ba-dump, ba-dump. It'll be a flow. Everything kind of feeds each other. But when you're investigating, if you feel that you're just on the edge of stable, then you stay with the sensation and you investigate the sensation. You allow the sensation and you stay with it till the sensation has moved through. So you become the container. Like we talked about Saturday, you're like the big garbage disposal and all. Oh, maybe a wood chipper is a better idea, because they're big and stable, right? And all that stuff goes in, chop, 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 and it comes out the other end, and it's all digested and done, right? If you're feeling stable, if all of this is going on and you're okay, and it's like, yep, I'm having an event, whew, and you feel ready to say, wow, what is this about? What's going on here? Whoa, this is bringing up old stuff. What we're learning is that if it's a present moment threat, you can handle it. It's when that present moment threat is tied to a memory. That's what we call being triggered, right? Because in that moment now, we're no longer just dealing with what is happening in front of us. We're dealing with the memory and the weight of all of that other stuff that's running us. And so at some point, our journey is to ask those questions. What is this really about? And in both cases, whether you stay with a sensation or whether you say, this is what this, what is going on here, in both cases, we nurture. We nurture. We show up for ourselves with such, and hopefully this is what we're learning, deep compassion and love and caring for ourselves, that we show up and we nurture and we say, it's going to be okay. We say, I'm here. We say whatever needs to be said to nurture and be there for ourselves. Okay. So I know I'm repeating it. We've been over this a lot, but I'm just repeating it again and again and again. So before we move on, any questions on that? Any comments on that? Anything to share on that? Yeah, Evan.
I have a question. It's kind of an interesting one on the nurture step, where sometimes I feel like perhaps I'm being a knucklehead to have the anxiety in the first place, where it's like, I know it's all about compassion and self-compassion, and that's sometimes good, but there are situations where I'm being short-sighted, which is triggering the anxiety. Is there ever sort of like almost like a fierce compassion where it's like, even in that nurturing phase, you're like, get over yourself a little bit. Like, does that make sense? Like, usually it's going to be like,
I hear you, but here's the thing. There is definitely a place for that, but in our culture, most of us have had a lot of fierceness that didn't work. And so the fierceness, when we're working in these worlds and we're working with fierceness, it's really strength is what it is. It's the fierce, the those energies, you know, like we talked about that one time, sometimes we're getting angry because anger is the strength to get us to stand up for ourselves, right? That's okay. I hope it was this class we talked about it. I think we talked about it, one of them. That kind of fierce get over it is not what we're doing here. Because what we are not good at is showing up and taking it seriously. We are really good at dismissing, at minimizing, at ridiculing, at mocking, oh, I'm an idiot. Oh, how ridiculous this feeling is. Oh gosh, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, that's what we normally do. So if you find that something like that actually works for you and you can still feel kind and gentle, then, you know, you have to do what works for you. My experience so far within this Western model we live in, which is different than the Eastern model, because they don't even understand what we do here. I think I've told the story before. Oh my God, I'm looking at the time. We can't keep talking like this. I got an exercise for us. Anyway, in the Eastern model, they don't even have the concept of self-loathing. I've told the story before. My teachers were sitting around the table with the Dalai Lama. They were talking about, I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of thing. They were all talking about stuff. And they started to bring up, well, but this idea of self-loathing, about being hard on yourself, not liking. And they could not grasp the concept, because this harshness we have towards ourselves, this mocking ridiculeness, is just not part of the way their minds worked. And when they finally got through, there were tears of compassion for those of us in the West who are raised in a culture where we really do beat up on ourselves, where we're so hard on ourselves.
this idea of compassion has no place in our culture. In fact, compassion for yourself is considered weakness, right? If you're kind to yourself, it's narcissistic, it's selfish, it's conceited, it's, you know, I'm sure we could come up with a paragraph's worth of words for what we're taught not to do that. Yeah, Brenda.
Well, and my thought, Evan, when you were talking was that awareness of sometimes you're short-sighted, I would feel like that would come more in the stages of the recognizing and the allowing, like if that's something that you're working on. But in the nurturing part, the thing that's helped me the most, the phrase when I first learned this was, and of course I'm reacting that way, or of course I'm feeling that way, because it's a way of still acknowledging that that's happening while you figure out why you do that. If that helps or makes any sense. So instead of getting to the nurturing part and trying to be all like, well, you just need to stop doing that, you know?
Yeah, I think I love the of course, because what it does is it validates. What we're trying to do is validate. And there is a place for fierceness. And Evan comes very much more out of the Buddhist tradition where we have fierce deities and all kinds of things like that. And so if it's a way for you to find the strength, then play with it. See if it works. The ultimate thing is, what's the result? And what we're looking for is an ability to be your best friend, to be your best advocate, to believe in yourself, to be there for you always, to care about you, to love yourself, to be kind to us. That's where we're going. That's what we want. And if it gets you there, then that works.
Yeah. I didn't want to take up too much time with it. It was more just like in 9 out of 10 situations, like, oh, good job, buddy. And maybe in the 10th situation, I could see this in my own case, sometimes like, come on, you got this. Like, you maybe even like it as a, like a good, like athletic coach or something, like, you got this, like enough.
Yeah. You got this is not fierce. You got this. We say that all the time. You can do this. I mean, in the 4 o'clock class, that came up. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You can got that. That's not fierce to me. That's encouraging. And that's definitely we want that. So two things I want to say before I take us to our exercise for tonight. One is that these things we do in the beginning, becoming present, staying present, heart smiling. I have been doing this for decades. And it never gets old. And I want to float that out there for you, that being present in the moment is a skill that never gets old. And so there may be a part of, because it's the Western world, okay, done that, Karen, move on, what's next? Done that, Karen, move on, what's next? Done that, Karen, we keep doing the same old thing. Yeah, we do. And every time you do it like it's the very first time. It never gets old. I was stunned to listen to some old recordings and I was starting them the same way I do today. And I know I don't have a memory, but you guys, this is beyond not having memory. It's just, I just enjoy being present. I enjoy the feeling my heart's smiling. It doesn't get old. So this skill you're developing is such a primary, fundamental skill. Don't dismiss it. And temptation is to say, yeah, Karen. It's like, no. Be in your bottom. Be in your feet. Be with your breath. This is the most foundational skill as a meditator. Show up as if it was the very first time, every time. Okay? So I want to say that. And then I want to say that, I'll save that for the end of class. Okay. So that, and then now here, we're going to do an exercise today that several of you have already done, but we're going to do it again. And I want to say it doesn't get old. You can do this exercise more than once and you learn every time and you gain the skill of allowing every time you do it. So I'm going to ask each one of you to take a few moments. Go to your kitchen, get a towel, and an ice cube, a towel and an ice cube. And we're going to learn how to allow on a whole nother level. Okay. So take a quick break, towel and an ice cube, and I'll see you. April's going, no, no. Jenny, are you out in the office? You can be able to get inside.
I'm out in the office, and if I go inside, then Bear's going to get really upset because okay. I'm going to see him and leave. So,
all right. So, cold in there? Do you have anything cold?
No, because it's like 90 degrees in here.
It's 90 degrees in there.
I have water, but that's, it's not really cold. What else?
What else? What else? What else? Is there? Do you have an extra freezer somewhere that you could sneak into and just get something cold out of the freezer?
No.
Could you text your husband?
I've done it before. I can do it tonight once the kids go to bed too.
You want to just pretend with us right now?
I'll just pretend. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Put the water on your hand and just.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's, I don't know. You have done it before though. So you do know this.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I hope my daughter went and got, I know she feels awful. She's so, so sick. So Nat, I don't know if you're able to go get an ice cube, but if you didn't, I'll do this exercise with you later. Okay. All right. So while people are coming back, I'm going to explain what we're doing. So don't do it yet, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to kind of talk you through the recognize, allow, investigate, nurture here, okay, as we do this. But the main point of us doing it tonight is allow. Allow is not intuitive. There is nothing about allow that is intuitive. And what you want to do as we do this tonight is notice your mind's response. 4 o'clock group. All I wanted to do was put it in the other hand. All I wanted to do was, you know, get away from it. We're going to put the ice cube at the center of your palm. And we're going to hold it there. No more than five minutes, but long enough to become uncomfortable. And it is going to be uncomfortable. Well, okay, that's not true. Most of us it's uncomfortable. A few of us it's excruciating. And some people it's like nothing. I know April, don't put it in there yet. No, not yet. Wait. I'm just demonstrating. Not a second longer than needed. But there are a few people I've run into who really, it's like nothing. It's like nothing to them. And if you're one of them, then lucky you. But for the rest of us, it's not going to be pleasant. And so what we're going to practice doing is allowing the sensation to be there, noticing the resistance in our mind. And even with the resistance in our mind, allowing ourselves, training ourselves, how do I allow something that's unpleasant? So we're going to soften the body. That's the first thing we do. We soften the body, right? We notice the thoughts that are resisting. And we keep coming back into the sensation. And what we do is we let the sensation merge, spread. Or we get very tight and specific, but either way, we are investigating it as we are allowing it. And you will discover things. It's like you come in with a sense of curiosity. A sense of curiosity. And eventually, we will nurture it. And you will have a time to say something like, it's okay. It's okay. Karen said she's not going to leave us more than 5 minutes. And that's true. I will not let you go more than 5 minutes. And you will not get frostbite. You will not die. Nothing is going to freeze or get freezer burn. Nothing. It's 5 minutes max. In other words, it's impermanent. It's not going to last forever. And this is where what Evan was saying, we say, you can do it. You can do it. It's not going to last forever. And what we want to pay attention to is what are the thoughts you think that nurture you? What is the self-talk? Can you come up with an encouraging, gentle, kind self way for you that nurtures you and helps you be with the discomfort of this temporary phenomena. Okay, see April smiling there. Okay, so we ready? I will talk you through it. So find your piece of ice and let's just put it in the palm. And then what you want to do is make sure your towel is underneath because it will melt. And you get to put your hand anywhere. You can put it on your lap. You can put it, support it. I'm going to keep mine up here so you can see. But the rest of you, don't add any extra strain. But so I'm watching the time. Let's take a moment to notice what's going on. What is the sensation you're experiencing? Where are you experiencing it? If you could identify the point where the sensation is most intense, where is that? Find it. And what is that sensation like? Can you actually be curious about it? Soften your hand, soften your arms, soften your chest, soften your jaw. And let's not call it ice. Let's just call it a sensation. Let's not even call it cold. Let's just call it a sensation. Where is it happening? Where is it most intense? And the sensation is probably shifting and changing. Just notice, stay soft, stay open. And then maybe explore the boundaries. Is there a hard edge where this sensation ends, or does it slowly change? If you're allowing the sensation to be there, has it spread into your fingers, your thumb, your wrist, your arm? For some of you, if you soften and allow, you may have some sense of the sensation all the way up into your shoulders or your chest. And then as you investigate it like this, as you soften and allow the sensation to be there, can you find the way to nurture yourself, to help yourself allow this? This isn't going to last forever. Or you can do this. What are you saying to yourself to help you stay with this sensation? Can you stay soft? The sensation is not you. You are what is observing. You are what is the witness. Just notice the breath. If it starts to speed up, just gently breathe in and soften. And we've got just, let's just go another 30 seconds. I'm not even going to keep you for 5 minutes. Can you do 30 more seconds? Allow, allow, nurture, nurture. Soften the jaw. I see some of you, jaws are tight, lips are tight. Soften the lips, soften the jaw. Soften the shoulders, soften the arms. All right, let's all take one nice deep breath. Exhale, soften crown down through your arm, your hand, your torso, and then gently just release the ice. But still, just rest for a moment and just come back to the sensation in your hand. And some of you may want to rest your palm in your other hand. And you might notice that the back of the hand is cooler than your other palm. And can you just be with the sensations in your palm right now, just as they are? And maybe even nurture. Good job. You did it. Look what you were able to do. And then when you're ready, just go ahead and take a gentle inhale. I know I'm still feeling it in my hand, but here's what we're going to practice. We're going to chat for a few minutes, and you are going to be able to be aware of this sensation even as we dialogue. Hopefully it's subsided enough that you are stable. It's a sensation. It's an event right here, and you can still communicate with me, with each other. This is, you're not collapsing into this. It's like the woman in the meeting. She was having an event. She was aware of it, but she could still function even as the event moved through and washed through. Yeah. So any comments or thoughts? How was it, basically? Jenny, yeah.
So just a side note, we did this like shortly, actually before I gave birth to Barrett, and I used it in my labor because when we did it, we had talked about that this feeling is not going to last forever. And like when I was giving birth, they couldn't give me an epidural because they couldn't get an IV catheter in. And that is just what I kept repeating to myself over and over again. So it was extremely useful. So yeah.
Oh, Jenny, thank you. I didn't know that part. All right.
Yeah, it was only, we did it like a month or two before I gave birth.
Before I gave birth, that's right. Yeah. Wow. The value. See, we practice at times like we come together, we practice these things so that we can use them. We don't wait until they're happening because then we're not quite strong enough, right? It's like we practice together. Somebody else wants something to share?
When we did this the first time, I got the tiniest little ice cube and it completely melted. I don't have ice at my house. I have an ice pack.
So how did that go?
Well, yeah, I think it was good for me. I think the ice pack was good for me.
Because? Tell us what it was like. Tell us what you experienced.
Well, I just kept thinking, man, why don't we have ice cubes in this house? But no, I noticed at first my hand started really rigid. And then, like, it was really hard to take at first because my hand was so rigid. And then as I softened, it got a lot easier.
Okay. Imprint that. Mm-hmm. That right there is worth this whole evening. As I softened, it got easier. As I let go of my resistance, it got easier.
Yeah, and I let go of the story of why the hell don't we have ice in our house? Once I was like, okay, yeah, that's... we don't. So stop thinking about it.
So there we go, Evan. That's the fierce place, right? With the thoughts. Stop it already. Yeah. Let it go.
Well, this is funny, Chris. There's two things. One, I couldn't figure out how to get ice out of my fridge without using the automatic thing, which my kids found hysterical, which is why it took me longer to come back. Anyway, and then I also had this is the first time I've done this where I think I actually did the softening part. And it was amazingly less torturous. So, yeah. Because I think if you've done it before, and this is probably very apropos for life, if you know it's coming, you can really get yourself worked up. So instead of doing that and just softening around it, it helped a lot.
Yeah. Which is interesting. The other class, they also, this is a double-edged thing, what Brenda just said. If you know it's coming, you can get yourself worked up. Or if you know it's coming, you can be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talked about was that sometimes it's the shock of an experience is what throws us off, right? And destabilizes us. And it made me, I mentioned when I go to the dentist, I've got a dentist, he's good, but he's not gentle. And there's times where I'm sitting there and I'm doing this, and all of a sudden the pain just shoots through me, unprepared, and I will jump and my whole body will clench. And it takes extra effort to soften, 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 soften. Whereas if I'm prepared and I'm soft and I get so deep because I know it's going to be coming, I'm a little, it doesn't derail me, right? So it's like a double-edged thing. Yeah. So one more person want to share something? What did you learn about allowing? Yes, April.
You know, I always hate this one, but I love it at the same time, every time, because it's like, I know it's going to feel hot. It feels hot, this hot pain, right? But I've discovered this time that my mind was wandering and I was thinking about something completely different. And then I bring it right back. I'm like, oh, weird. I felt nothing when my mind wandered. Like, I was like, wait a minute, what just happened there? And then I come back to the sensation. And then by the time it was closer to the end and it was just softening the body, I was totally able to. And maybe I don't know if I was supposed to do this or not, but I just went into Hong Sa and I was curious if I could do it. And I totally could do it. Totally could do Hong Sa. And it was like, oh, isn't this interesting? Like, so anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating because actually, so, okay, we're doing this to learn how to just be a container for an event that's happening and allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Not resist it, not interfere with it, just allow it. So the equivalent of this is the, right? The fear, the clenching, the nausea, all those things, right? But the other piece of this then, since you brought it up, is the more we learn to do this, we learn that the mind, one of it's like that the proclivity of the mind that it can go somewhere else and we lose awareness of something else, right? Where the mind goes, the energy, our attention follows, is fabulous for pain management, right? You can breathe Hong Sa and your awareness of pain goes. I was just listening to a teaching from one of my teachers the other day, and she was talking about how, you know, she has a lot of physical issues and she can be in a lot of pain. And as soon as she starts teaching, it's not there. Pain is gone. As soon as she stops teaching, the pain is back, right? The mind, the focus of the mind. Now that can be a great thing for pain management, but it's also a tool that we have perfected for avoiding and running away and not paying attention to these parts of us that are crying out for our attention. And so our discernment, our maturity, our evolution is in learning when to use this principle to avoid, to manage pain, and when to not use it, to recognize that we're using it to avoid growth and awareness and insight, right? So real quick, out of curiosity, what kind of things did you say to yourselves to nurture yourselves to get through it? Just the last little thing. Ramon, yes.
This shall pass. Everyone else feels the same way. Things like that.
Ah. And it worked.
Yeah.
And was it, and did you hear your voice? Did you hear the gentleness in your voice when you said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're going for. Somebody else.
I kept saying to myself over and over again, you're almost done. You're almost done.
Ah, back to the encouragement. You're almost done. You're almost done. Which you're almost done has embedded in it. You've made it this far. Good job. Good job. Keep going, right? Which is, yeah. Steve, how about you? You've been really quiet tonight.
Well, it's always better, I think, if, when I'm quiet. But
no, that's not true.
Well, I got a little. So for, I've heard some really good feedback, really, from the group. In fact, in terms of equating this ice thing to our mind, like the relax, the don't fight it. Because I always, because we've done this before, I always get fixated on how is like a physical sensation, or I guess pain, if you will, discomfort. You know, how do I connect that to mental discomfort? Because the two are very different for me. I mean, you know, I sort of think, but so I got a little fixated on that. But I think honestly, my summary of it would be that there's been some very good feedback here on how that's sort of an analogy for how we deal with our mental anxious issues.
Oh, good. So you're starting to see the connection. The yes, there are two different kinds of pain, but the technique of allowing is right. So what did you use for a lot? What did you do to nurture yourself, Steve?
You mean during the course of having the ice?
Yeah, yeah. What were your nurturing thoughts?
I don't think they're very good. It's like, is this pain? Is this not pain? And how is this mental pain? How does this? I don't think I was very nurturing during the exercise itself.
Okay. Fair. And I want, and I purposely asked because I know it's not a natural place for you. Okay. And so, but I just want to give everybody else permission too, that it's, this is not a necessarily an intuitive natural place to be nurturing to ourselves, right?
Right. Yep.
And so, and that's okay too. We just want to be aware of it and we'll learn how. We can learn how to do that, right? We can learn how, I mean, we've all learned how to use computers. And not one of you people here grew up with a computer when you were 2 years old. You didn't have a computer, right? No, Chris is probably young enough. Jenny's young enough. Okay. Evan, 10, really? 10 years old?
Yeah, I was 10.
You were 10. Okay, 10 I can handle. So in other words, it's not something you had from when you were 1 year old and like these kids now. That's going to be intuitive, right? This kind of thing is not intuitive for us in our culture yet. Maybe for your children, maybe for your grandchildren, it will be. Our culture is changing. You are part of the revolution that is happening in our consciousness. And so the last thing I want to leave you with is, first of all, good job. And learning to allow is not simple. It's not simple. It's counterintuitive. So let's give ourselves grace for that, right? It is totally counterintuitive. So we're learning a new way, but it works. And what we're going to work with, this is, so tonight we did, if I have to stay with a sensation in my body and allow the sensation to be there and just work with the sensation, this is the skill you're learning there. Saturday, we're going to go back and start talking again about if I'm at that choice point where it's like, okay, now what's going on here? What are the techniques we use there? And what I want to just plant for you all is when we did that exercise where we had tea with our fear is that when we are doing that, we are learning to speak a new language. Those deep parts of you that are filled with fear, those parts of you that you are looking for the answer, when you say what's going on here, that part is not going to talk to you in English. It doesn't speak English. It does not speak English. It speaks in symbols. And so our journey is learning to trust the symbols that come up, the little, just the little things that pop up that hold the revelation within them, these little symbols. So this skill of not ridiculing, not mocking, not minimizing, not dismissing is essential to learning how to listen to your deeper self, to that subconscious. And that's what we'll be doing more with next Saturday. Okay. So there we are.
I'll just say really quick, Karen, too, that when I went out to get the ice cube out of the freezer, I said to the girls who have each taken a class with Karen, hey, Karen's doing the ice cube activity. You want to come in with me? No, we're good.
No, they both did it that year, right? They were doing it. That's enough, Mom. Let it
go. We're good, Mom. Go ahead.
All right, everybody. Well, listen, please be kind to yourselves. Really work on this gentle peace. Becoming there's so much we're working on. We're not going to get it all. You focus on what is most relevant to you. Bring it into your day as much as you can. The most important pieces. One, be present. Two, be gentle and kind with yourself. That's where we're going. Okay. All right. All right, folks. It's so good to see you all. I'll see you on Saturday. Bye. Oh, that's right. Cause Saturday we have an extra class. If you weren't there last Saturday, I added the Saturday class because there's so much to cover. Okay. No extra charge. Okay. Good night, everybody. Night.